There we go. Colossians chapter 2. Two super subs. All right, I'm ringing, so turn me down. Colossians chapter 2. Turn me down, please. Better. Colossians chapter 2. I was again thinking about heading out to leadership conference this week, and a few years ago, I got to go in 2005, and one of the things I picked up was the ingredients for a healthy church. I just want to give that to you tonight again, and think about some things, and even talk to you a little bit as a pastor, as your pastor. And I know we got some out of town tonight, but I mentioned this morning about having moving the finance team meeting to August 1st, and then having a business meeting that night as well with the church. And we want to keep you as much informed about buildings and what we're doing. I will tell you that a lot of the visitors we have, in fact, one family I visited with week before last, had a good conversation with them about how crowded it was on Sunday morning and all the things going on in our church and how God's really blessed. Isn't it amazing? I can't get over it, walking in here on Sunday morning and seeing the crowd. This morning, on 4th of July, you know, I think it was 2:30-something here this morning, when I could count to you at least 20 families that are out. And so you just think about the crowd and so forth. And then the families that have joined this morning and the families that have joined since the first of the year. It's just God's continued to bless. Every time I think, okay, it's going to slow down a little bit or it's about done or whatever the case, it just keeps on going. And what a blessing. And there are some things that we need to consider when we talk about growth and a healthy church. By the way, growth is a byproduct of a healthy church. And of course, there's always room for improvements. I always say that, you know, our church is running on about 6 cylinders, and I don't know that we'll ever get it to 8, at least to a Chevy V8. We might get it to a Ford V8. Maybe not to a Chevy. But you know, there's always room for improvements. There's always room to do a little better job. And the Bible talks about that everything should be done decent and in order, and we certainly try to do that. Without putting the Holy Spirit aside. Amen? I mean, there's some things we want to make sure that we do decently in order, but some things we don't want to be too routine about. And one thing that we don't be too routine about is when kids get saved, like this morning with Rod and Maxwell's child. What a great, happening. I got to visit with her in my office this morning, and just to see and know what she's been taught and the answers she had. And it's amazing to me. And so we want to continue in this. Look at Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read just a couple of verses and we'll head on tonight. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Again, we're to walk in Him. We're to be rooted and grounded in the faith, established in the faith, and that faith is to be taught. When we attempt at Heritage Baptist Church to do that, we attempt through the Sunday school, through master's clubs, through every area, whether it's prayer meetings or whatever, to continue to teach and establish you in your faith. And that is a part of being a healthy church. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of Your Word. Help us tonight as we look at these truths once again. And help us again to always keep our eyes on You. And Lord, I pray that You continue to help us with maintaining our purpose as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the top of the list of being a healthy church, or the ingredients for a healthy church, is a church with a purpose. And this has become very popular in the last 20 or 30 years for the church to have a purpose statement. And when I was a kid, I don't remember churches having a purpose statement. No, I didn't. And until the last, probably even the last 20 years, it really wasn't that big a deal. But, you know, you walk into a hospital or you walk into nearly any business of that caliber, and they usually have a purpose statement up on a wall somewhere. And so I can see that, of getting that purpose out in front of the people. But let me tell you, I've read the books. I've been to the conferences. And let me tell you again, once again, what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. and to teach them, to baptize them. And so, above everything else, I want you to know that it is our job to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, and most of you are familiar with the passage, and we read it here actually recently when Brother Alberson was here. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world, of the earth." This is our purpose as a church, to spread the gospel, to baptize, and then to teach converts. And I like various outlines for that. It's our job to evangelize, baptize, and stabilize. That's Brother Stewart's outline. They used to say, you know, to wed them, to win them, wed them, and work them. And I'll use the other one. I'll say it anyway. Win them, wed them, worm them, and work them. That was the old one. But there's all sorts of outlines for it. But that is our purpose, to evangelize the world, to baptize converts, and then to establish them in their faith. That is our purpose. When a church is not doing that, it ceases to be a church, and it becomes a social organization. Most churches today, as I've stated this morning, have become social organizations. I enjoy socializing. We're about to do it. I enjoy sitting around the table with other Christians and eating and fellowshipping. But our main purpose is to win people to Jesus Christ, to get the gospel out, to baptize converts, and then to establish them, teach them the Bible. So we are to impact our community and the world for Jesus Christ. We're to be soul winners. Again, understand that each of us are responsible to be soul winners. It's not just the churches collectively, but each of us individually. And I again encourage you, you ought to be witnessing to your neighbor, to your aunt, uncle, to your co-workers. That is our responsibility. One day we will give an account for those we come in contact with and whom the Lord led us to and we did not witness to. In fact, Isaiah talks about there being blood on the hands. And we are watchmen. We need to be very careful and be soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ and impact the world around us for Him. Not only are we to impact our community and the world for Jesus Christ, but we're to inspire people to develop a heart for God. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Some of you have heard this outline before. You can also, I've heard various outlines like this. And again, usually all the outlines put the Great Commission at the end. And I think it should be at the beginning. All the other purposes of the church should be under that. Under that. Part of establishing somebody in the faith is fellowship. Is fellowship. How do you know that? Because in order for a person to truly get established in their faith, they need to make Christian friends. And you can't go back to the old way of doing things when you get saved and expect to live for the Lord. Psalm 34 and verse 2, look at verse 1. "And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name," what? Together. It is one of our purposes as a church to inspire people to develop a heart for God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 42 says that as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. David had a longing to know God. And it is our purpose as a church to inspire people to develop a heart for God, to inspire people to read the Bible, to develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school teacher, you're responsible for that. I'm responsible for that. Children's church worker, your job is to inspire people to have a longing and desire and a heart for the Word of God and for Jesus Christ. Develop a heart for Him. Acts chapter 2, our purpose is not only to impact the community for Christ, but inspire people to develop a heart for God, but also to include people in the church family. People don't want to just believe, they want to what? Belong. And so as we look at our Sunday school classes, I believe at Heritage Baptist Church right now, in the time of my ministry, the last 18 years, this is the best I've ever seen in our ministry that we've had the Sunday school working the way it should work. And I appreciate Brother Clark and others who've worked hard to make that happen. It's mainly the Sunday school teachers. I don't know about Brother Clark. But Brother Harry and Brother Jack and the group captains in those classes doing a great job for the victory class and their group care group leaders and Brother Henderson's class, the care group leaders, taking care of their class. making sure that people are included. And it is vital in as we grow that we do even a better job of that. Let me tell you, care group leaders, you're as important to the Sunday school as anybody else. And to keep up with your care group, making sure if somebody gets sick that the church knows. Call the church. Email the church. Let us know. We don't want anybody falling through the cracks. And that can happen as we grow. As I said this morning, I wasn't kidding. They're not here tonight. But the Vaughns, when they came down to join this morning, I really thought they had already joined. And I'm the pastor. And I keep up with it pretty good. And I think I've done a fairly good job. I know everybody's names. And I can name them. I can do them. But I really thought they'd already joined. But that tells you, as you grow, what can happen. You know, you begin to lose track of who is who and what's what. And it's vitally important that each Sunday school class take care of their Sunday school group. I heard some people say, well, preacher, I don't want to be a part of a large church. Well, that's contrary to the Bible, number one. Amen? Because we're trying to grow. We're trying to win more people to the Lord. The larger we get, the more we can do that. Especially a church like this one that's really trying to win people to the Lord, trying to get out there and do it. But I'm telling you, if the Sunday school is working properly, you will never feel like you're in a large church. If it's working properly, because your class will basically, I know this sounds weird, but it basically becomes your church. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a Sunday school class, get in a Sunday school class. That's where you really will become a part of a group. I hear people say to me, they'll say to me, preacher, do you have home church? Do you have cell groups? Do you have small groups, is what they'll say. Do you have small groups? I said, yes, we have small groups. It's called a Sunday school. See, the new churches haven't done anything new. They've just repackaged it. It doesn't need to be repackaged. It just needs to be worked. And when it's worked, it will work. Amen? There's proof all across the nation of independent, fundamental Baptist churches like ours who are using the old Sunday school the way it's been for the last 200 years and are growing and doing a fine job. And that can be done here, and we are as close to having it right as I've been a part of. So I'm just telling you, encouraging you, doing a great job, keep it up. And when you find somebody who you may think is slipping through the cracks, call them, keep up with them, let them know you care. I appreciate Brother Bill calling me this morning, and I'm going to embarrass him, but he called me this morning, and we got to talk on the phone, and he said I'm just still amazed as I think about our church and just the love and compassion that our church has towards their church family. Taking care of them, giving them food, and making sure that through this process of Vicky being down, that they're taken care of. That's what we should be doing. Man, it's about including people in the group. Making sure nobody feels like they're an outsider. Amen? And let's keep it up. I can't say that enough. As a church grows, a healthy ingredient for a church, again, is that inclusion of everybody into the church family. And that's what we are. We're a church family. And let's do our very best to include people in it. Thirdly, is to instruct people from the Word of God. Let me tell you that we are a Bible-based church. Let me encourage you Sunday school teachers and others that when you stand up, if you don't stand up with the book that you received to get your lesson out of, teach from the Bible. Make sure your class knows you're teaching from the Bible. Make sure that the Bible is in the forefront as we teach, whether it's in children's church, whether it's in the master's clubs, when we need to start it back up. Make sure the Bible. We are a Bible-based church. It's the Bible that is the most important book that we have. I'm telling you, the Bible needs to stay center in the focus. We preach from the Bible. A lot of churches have gotten away from that, folks. You would be very surprised if you got out there to find out how many churches whose preacher never opens the Bible. Bible-based church. Instruct people from the Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings growth. It's the Word of God that is the spiritual food necessary for a Christian to grow. And let's keep it Bible-based. Again, turn over with me. You've heard this verse before, probably 100 times. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read it. Probably before you get there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And again, that's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. We're to instruct people in the Word of God and instruct them in such a way that they could tell somebody else what you've taught. I love attending and going out to the New Crown College in Southwest that we are part of. And that is their absolute philosophy of ministry. A couple of years ago, they approached me about becoming part of the master's program. It's getting my master's out there. Me and Brother Stone have delved back into it now. Actually, he's done more than I have. And I asked the question, I said, okay, I'm interested in getting my master's, but I'm not interested in getting my master's if it's just academics. Nobody has ever asked me, nobody has ever decided whether or not to join our church based upon what was on the wall in my office. I'm telling you, it hadn't happened. I've had a few people ask me where I went to school. But I've never had somebody say, well, I'm not coming to you, joining your church because you don't have a master's or a doctorate. This hadn't happened. But he said to me, and I said, if it's not some practical things that I can use, I don't want to take it. He said, it's absolutely practical. And he sat down with me for a few minutes and just said, listen, this is the philosophy of ministry of Crown College Southwest, and that is able to teach others also. Whatever instruction we give you, it will be given to you, and you'll be able to teach that to somebody else. It's useful. As a pastor, it needs to be useful for me. It can't just be academics. It can't be just brain exercises. I need some application. I need something that I can learn from there and I can bring to you. Amen? And so we do the same thing with our classes. Whatever class you teach, whatever area of responsibility you have. And by the way, daddy and mamas, you have that same responsibility with your children as you teach them the Word of God. Teach them over and over specific spiritual things that one day they can teach their children. Amen? We are to, again, impact people, impact our community and the world for Jesus Christ. We're to inspire people to develop a heart for God. By the way, I think some of that inspiring is not to walk into class or to be... Anyway. All right, include people to be part of the church family. Everybody wants to belong. Instruct people with the Word of God. And lastly, involved in ministry. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10. First Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good what? Stewards of the manifold grace of God. It is your responsibility as a Christian to get involved in ministry and to use the gift that God has given you, whatever that may be. It may not be the gift of teaching. You may not have that gift. But you may have the gift of encouragement or the gift of administration or whatever the gift God has given you needs to be used. I'm enjoying having our welcome center out front, and I appreciate it. I think the McNeils were working it this morning. And I've already noticed a difference, because usually I would be setting up here, and when somebody came in real late, I was like, oh no, I wonder if anybody ever said anything to them. What a blessing. Use your gift. Use your gift. Find a ministry. Get involved. It's absolutely necessary to your Christian growth for you to get involved in some ministry. Ushering, singing in the choir, something. By the way, that is a part about belonging too. Right? It gives you ownership as such. Amen? That's what we teach our kids. Right? They really don't take care of something and really take care of something unless they have ownership. Right? That's why I personally am not going to buy my son's his car all to himself. I'm not going to just give it to him. You're going to have to earn some of it. I want him to have ownership. You know what happens? If it breaks, he'll have some responsibility in that. Oh, that was... Yeah. Amen? Same thing here in the church. Ownership. Just getting in and getting and belonging somewhere. Getting in some ministry, wherever God has called you to do, will make a significant difference in your life as well as in the church's life. It helps us to fulfill our purpose as a church. I always use the illustration that are you riding on the wagon or are you pulling the wagon? You're one or the other, right? Be a part of pulling the wagon. Be a part of helping the church move forward. move forward. The biblical purpose for a church is by far and above all impacting our community and world for the Lord Jesus Christ by way of winning people to Jesus Christ, baptizing them, and then that part of that discipleship, that part of growing and building up people in their faith is to inspire them to develop a heart for God, is to include them in the church family, is to instruct people with the Word of God, is involving them in ministry. All of these areas that we need to be a part of. I was saying this morning about various things. As we grow, people have lots of questions about what's happening, what are we going to do. And in our business meeting back in January, we talked about every quarter talking about our building needs. And there's nobody in here tonight that could say that there's not a need when it comes to building on Sunday morning, right? Wish there was a greater need on Sunday night. Now, this is a good crowd for July 4th, but there is a need. And we want to be in prayer about this, and we want to let God lead us and direct us. Amen? Everybody wants that. But at the same time, we don't want to miss the opportunity as well, an opportunity to impact our community for the Lord Jesus Christ in a greater way. And we can only do that if we can house people, if we can fit them in. It's amazing to me, the more people I talk to and the more preachers I talk to. I've met with two preachers, and I have two other preachers I'm going to meet with this week concerning the building and the way things are growing, the way things are doing. By the way, there's wisdom in multitude of counselors. You would expect me as a pastor to go to another pastor who's been there to get advice. Me and Brother Henderson have talked about it some, and we're going to talk about it more. That's what you would expect, wouldn't you? Amen. If you're going to grow your company, if you owned a company and you were growing, things were going well, wouldn't you try to find somebody else who has been to that next step that you can get advice from? Right? And so that's what I've been doing the last several months. And I have more of that to do even this week. And I hope to present to you something in the first Sunday in August with kind of, again, the direction we're going and where things are at and all these things. But the growth is a byproduct of being a healthy church. And a healthy church is made up of individuals who are striving to fulfill the purposes of a church. And let's continue to go forward in those purposes. Let's continue to go forward, not only in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but as a church, we want to grow. One of the reasons why the staff, and I mentioned this, usually I wouldn't mention we were going to spiritual leadership conference until after we got back. Because it might impact our attendance. Don't let it do that. But I mention it to you because that is part of learning and the process of learning and growing as a staff. We want to improve. Well, I don't know about you, but I mean, there's things in the Bible that are administratively speaking that can help us. But if we're going to learn how to be a better administrator in these type of things, we may need to go talk to some people who can do it and do it good, right? Amen? And so we as a staff and us as a church body just need to be aware that things are going great. God is blessing. But with these blessings come other things that you may be uncomfortable about. Amen? Things I may be uncomfortable about. Nobody else feels that way? No, I do. And so we have to pray for each other and encourage one another and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, keep our eyes on our purposes. Each Sunday school teacher, not to get bogged down and other things going on around them, but keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And during our last building process, some of you would testify, we definitely got our eyes off the Lord. At least I did. Some of you didn't. I'd admit to it. Got a little discouraged and so forth. None of y'all? You bunch of liars. Brother Summers wasn't here, so he's not lying. So how do we approach it differently? We approach it differently this time by being as forth and open as possible with everything we're trying to do. Amen? We did that last time too, but not setting dates. Right? Jason. I'll tell it on him because he's not here. Jason had told Rod and some of these other guys and said, yeah, we'll be in the building. And I figured he said something. I went to Jason the next day and said, how are things going? How close? Oh, we'll be in the building such and such. I said, did you tell your guys that you were going to be in the building on that day? He said, yeah. I said, don't do that. And that date's already passed, hadn't it? You know, you got to be, we learn from our mistakes, shouldn't we? Amen? Hopefully we'll do that. But let's keep our eyes on our purposes. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go forward and as a church family. Embrace what God is doing. Embrace what God is doing. And then allow for mistakes. You know, allow for growing pains. Allow for, again, I know I'm 36 now, but I'm still a young pastor. Allow for young pastor mistakes. And there's a bunch of you who've already done that. So if you add on a few more besides that, what is that, you know? Not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Just keep going forward. I commend the Sunday school teachers, commend the children's church workers, commend the master's club, the children's choir. I believe every area of our church now is the Lord's is really blessing. Let's keep it up. Some of you who may not be involved yet, I know the crowd's a little smaller tonight, get involved somewhere. God's going to bless that. We thank our visitor for being here tonight and being a part of. And pray about the building. That's something you should be on your prayer list. What God would have us to do in the area of building and so forth. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. We have a first of invitation.